Today I'm continuing with the second part of our current message series, Immovable, looking at cultivating attitudes and behaviours that will help us to stand firm and to hold through this time of seeming uncertainty and chaos. Go with me, if you would, whether that's your electronic or your physical Bible, into Acts chapter 27, and we're going to read through from verse 13 through to verse 31.
Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along, running under the lee of a small island called Corda. We managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island.'" When the 14th night had come, as we were being driven along the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved."
In this single event, Paul revealed the strength that allowed him to anchor his soul and to hold fast even when there was a storm raging around him. And I want to suggest that every single one of us in this moment, in this season that we are in, needs to know that you have an anchor that you can set down that will hold you fast and firm and will bring you through this current storm of life. And so I want to share with you just 3 simple things that Paul demonstrates in the course of this particular episode. And the first one is this, is that Paul knows the presence of God. Paul knows the presence of God. In verse 23, we read that as he speaks to the sailors, that he says that an angel of the Lord had come to him during the storm. And when everyone else on board ship was in despair, when the situation seemed hopeless, Paul was calm and confident that because he knew that God was present. He knew that God had not abandoned him. An angel of God had come and stood beside him in a vision. And friends, we need to know that the storms and the chaos of life cannot keep God from us and cannot hide us from God. At times we may not see him and we may not even feel him around us, and we might even think that God is far away, but he is with us. Why? Because he promises to be with us. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, when Joshua was about to enter the promised land, we read there where God assures him, I will not leave you or forsake you. And remember, Joshua is a variation of the name Jesus, Yeshua. And in Hebrews, again, in the New Testament, Hebrews 13, verse 5, that same verse is reiterated again. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And God reassures Paul in this moment of his presence, despite the dark and the violent storm that is raging around him. Friends, we need to believe in a God who not only hears us, but a God who answers us. I'm never quite certain why people would believe in a God that is not attentive to their cry and doesn't respond to their prayers. That certainly isn't the God that I believe in, because it's not the God that I see in the scriptures. We need, friends, we need to know that we have a God whose ears are always attentive to the cries of his people, and a God who is always willing and ready to respond as we pray by faith. Listen, God is not an absent father. We live in a world today where there are many households that are single parents, where mothers are bringing children up and families up without the presence of a father or a father figure in the home. And again, at another level, there are those there are men in the world who want to father as many children as possible, but with no intention of having any input or feeding into the life of those children. I want to assure you this morning that even though we call God Father, he does not compare in any way to an earthly father. God is not an absent father. And those of us who are students of Jesus, those of us who call ourselves Christian and know the Lord Jesus Christ, be assured that God is not an absent father. Even though we are sons and daughters, countless millions down through the ages, God knows us by name, and he desires to have an input and to speak into our life. God is not an absent father in the midst of our chaos and uncertainty. Hallelujah. Praise God. God shows himself to be real and present with Paul. He speaks to reassure Paul many times through particularly the book of Acts. And so Paul in this moment is confident because he has experience of who God is. And in this moment, God speaks again to reassure Paul that not only will he not perish, but none of the people, none of the soldiers or the sailors that are with him in the boat will perish either. I wonder what your faith is like today. Who's the sort of God that you believe in today? Is he a God that you can trust? Do you believe that you will come through this pandemic, through this situation, better than when you went in? Do you believe that this pandemic will not overwhelm you because God has said? Do you believe that you will not perish during this pandemic? Who is the sort of God that you believe in during this time? You see, the real test of our faith comes or is measured when we face a crisis. It is far easier to believe or to call yourself a student of Jesus or a Christian when things are going well, when things are going great, when you have a job that is certain, when there is income coming in, when you have your health, when prayers are answered. In times like that, it's easy to call yourself a student of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the test, friends, the real test comes when the problems arise, when the chaos and the unforeseen things of life come against us, when suddenly your job is no longer secure because of a world pandemic, because of a shift in the economic status of our country, when we're diagnosed with an illness and the doctors have no way of knowing or how they're going to cure it, when the darkness overwhelms us and tempts us to despair and causes us to think in terms of just throwing it all in and wondering, is it really worth it? Friends, it's in those moments when the real test of our faith is measured in the midst of crisis, friends. We need to build up our faith in God. Our strength, friends, is revealed only in crisis. It's not made in crisis. And so what we need to do, friends, is in the times of calm and peace, we need to develop those characters, those traits, those aspects that will hold us firm in the midst of crisis. Hallelujah. You see, it's in the daily, the routine, the mundane, the trivial aspects of life that we learn about God, that we learn and develop our faith, that we grow in Him. You see, you have to know that God is present in times of peace before you can ever trust Him and believe that He'll be present in the midst of crisis. Let me say that again because it's important. You have to know that God is present in the midst of your peace before you can ever believe that He'll be present in the midst of crisis. You see, it takes a lot more to believe that He is present when everything around you is crumbling, when everything collapses and everything is in chaos. It takes far more to believe that He is in the midst of your circumstance then. But when in crisis, friends, like Paul, don't stop praying. Don't stop crying out to God. Don't stop meeting with the saints. Although it's difficult at the moment, take every opportunity that we have, whether that's virtual over the internet or even gathered here in the building. Take every opportunity that presents itself to meet with the other saints that you might be encouraged and strengthened during this time of crisis and uncertainty. Friends, in these times, we need to hear God more, not less. We need to draw closer to Him, not away from Him. And every time that Paul faced a life-threatening or a time of uncertainty and or chaos, Paul drew near to God. Paul heard God. Certainly in my own life, the two times of my life, the two extremes of my life, the time when I was probably the closest to God in terms of my own understanding, I knew the heart of God. And in my time of despair, the darkest time in my life, I knew the voice of God. The only time when I physically heard the voice of God outside of myself speaking into my circumstance. And friends, we need in times of peace to develop attitudes and a strength of character that will hold us firm in times of chaos. The second thing that Paul shows us in this account is that he knows the purpose of God. In verse 24 to 26, it says, "The Lord said to Paul, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you.'" God had a plan for Paul, and his plan was not that Paul would end up at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. You see, Paul's destiny was in God's hands, and so too is ours. Our future, our life is in God's hands, and they are good hands, friends. Nothing, friends, can happen to us that is outside the purposes of God. If something happens to us, it's not by accident. It's not because God didn't see it coming. It's because God allows it to happen because He wants to develop something in our character and our nature that will equip us for something that is coming later on. God has a plan for your life, and you need to understand that and know that today. The storms, friends, are just simple challenges, opportunities for us to develop new levels of faith. Hallelujah. Everyone on board, God said, would be saved. And I suppose in this situation, as we look at it, we might have, in our natural thinking, have expected God to keep the boat afloat. That would seem to be the most logical and the simplest thing to do. But instead, God chooses to do something different. That he sinks the boat, or he brings the boat to capsize on a sandbank. And even though the boat capsizes and ultimately sinks, not a single life is lost. The 276 lives on board were saved. Hallelujah. And isn't that great that God often works that way? He works in the most unlikeliest of ways in our circumstances. All too often we have things worked out and we think we know how God should do things, but all too often we see, and it amazes us, doesn't it, that God always does the seemingly unlikely thing. Why? Because in those times we need to know that it is God. Certainly, again, in my own life, I know that there have been moments where God has specifically said to me that he will work in a particular way, in a way that is beyond my own resource or ability, just for the purpose that I would know that it's him and take none of the credit for myself. And so Paul is able to remain calm because God had said no one will perish. But note this, friends, and this is important, verse 30 here. Note this, that even after God had spoken, there was still a seemingly natural way out. Listen to what it says in verse 30. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under pretense of laying out anchors from the bow. And when life and circumstances rise up, when the storms of life come, the temptation that we have is, as we go through life, is to set through our lives little lifeboats, little escape lanes, as it were, that if God doesn't come through, we have a plan B that we can fall back on. And even though God has said no one would perish, the sailors still had a plan B, the boat. But Paul stood up there in verse 31 and he said, listen, unless you stay in the boat, you cannot be saved. They had to make a decision. Were they going to trust the word of God, or were they still going to rely on their natural resources? Praise God that we read later on in verse 32, the soldiers cut away the ropes from the ship's boat and let it go. And you may have escape lanes built in your life. You may have lifeboats scattered around, ready for those storms that will come. Friends, can I encourage you this morning that you prayerfully examine them and cut them away? You need, friends, the only way that any of us will survive is that we stay in the boat, that we stay with God's plan, we hold on to him, even when the storms of life are raging around us. What, friends, are those lifeboats that you need to cut away and let go today? Hallelujah. The third thing that Paul shows us then, and the final thing, is that he knows the promise of God. Paul says this, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen exactly as he told me. Paul is not trying to make everyone feel good. After all, he was in the storm as well. He was in the boat. If he didn't really believe that he was going to survive, then he wouldn't have said it. But Paul understood something. He knew the promise of God. He knew the faithfulness of God. And God keeps his promises without fail. If God says something, if God has spoken into your life, then it will happen. It will come to pass. The word reminds us that God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he a son of man that he should change his mind. If God has spoken, it will come to pass. And this season, friends, will come to pass. God will bring us through this. We are not going to be in this situation forever and a day, but God will bring us through in accordance with the promises, the things that he has spoken and the things that he has said over not just us as individuals, but the things he has spoken over us as a people and as a nation. God keeps his promises without fail. But listen, it may be that in keeping his promises, we may get wet. The sailors couldn't have foreseen for a moment that instead of keeping the boat afloat, which is what we would have done, that God would bring the boat to capsize on a sandbank and the sailors would end up in the water. God will save us, friends. God will bring us through, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to get wet. But God will bring us through. Even when seemingly the boat sinks, God will keep us afloat with his mighty hand. Hallelujah. In closing then, let me just quote again the words of Paul in verse 29. Fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Friends, can I encourage you today to drop anchors in your life? Storms will come, that's a certainty. But in times of calm and peace, let me encourage you to develop anchors that will allow you to drop them when those storms come, that will allow you to stand firm in the storms of life, that will allow you to hold on to God's presence, his purpose and the promises that he has for you. Pray for day to come in the midst of darkness. Light will come, friends. It's just a matter of time. It may seem dark now, but the great thing is when it's at its darkest, it can only get lighter. And remember, friends, God is not slow as some understand slowness. But God, in his graciousness, comes at just the right time, not wanting any of us to perish. In other words, God wants to save us all. And so don't think, where are you, God? You're a bit slow. God comes and works his plans and his purposes at just the right time for our benefit. And when we trust God, ultimately, friends, instead of being tossed and blown by the circumstances and the uncertainties of life, instead we'll find ourselves with our feet on solid ground, firm and sure. Hallelujah. This morning, if you want to know the certainty of God in your life, if you want to have the assurance that when all of this is past, when this life is past, that you too can spend eternity in God's heaven, that even in this life now, you can have relationship and know God. There's a prayer on the screen that if you want to pray it and pray it now, will help you to come into relationship with God. Jesus, I acknowledge that I have done wrong things against you and that those things, my sin, has separated me from you. I don't fully understand, but believe you lived, died for my sins and rose from the dead. Today, I receive your forgiveness and thank you for your gift of a new start and new life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I choose to follow you and live for you. Come into my heart and change my life now and in my future. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer this morning, God bless you. And know that from this moment on, your life will never be the same. Your life, friends, will be better than it was before as you continue to walk with and anchor yourself in the Lord God. Have a great day and God bless you, friends, and keep well and safe during these uncertain times.